Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program unabashedly devoted to the most important, to the fastest growing, and yes, even to the largest segment of society. To those who have come to realize that the world's political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they aren't trustworthy, that they're in fact counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. Today we will begin with the news. We will transition to our weekly program called Sports in the News, and then conclude with a continuing evaluation of Paul's poison pen. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. I'm always disappointed when I listen to SRN News. One of the segments today was on the justification for the NSA. The fact is that there isn't a single terrorist act that has been thwarted because of the massive invasion of privacy, not only in America, but worldwide, of the NSA. Not one. There isn't a single Islamic terrorist that has been identified. There has not been one Islamic terrorist attack that has been thwarted. When Dianne Feinstein tried to justify it, she, of course, named David Headley, who was a double agent working for the CIA. And rather than stopping a terrorist act with David Headley, the United States knowingly allowed him to perpetrate his bombings in Mumbai, India. It is a despicable organization. It is an adjunct to the U.S. military. It provides absolutely no security to Americans and makes them vastly more vulnerable. Even if the NSA could claim 100 revelations that stopped a horrid terrorist act from occurring, it still wouldn't be worth it. And that is because if you undermine the rule of law, if you undermine your base constitution to achieve a goal, you have made yourself vastly more vulnerable. That means that the rule of law no longer applies in America. The U.S. Constitution is no longer the basis for governance. So by having an institution that violates the Bill of Rights of the U.S. Constitution blatantly, Americans are vastly less secure. They're vastly less free. And the fact is that the NSA and its pervasive spying mechanism have caused nations around the world to reject America, to look at America as poisonous, as villainous, as out of control. It has caused nations and companies around the world to reject doing business with American technology companies because they know for certain that the U.S. government is forcing those American technology companies to provide spy data. Been devastating for the U.S. economy. These are the realities. And yet, the government justifies it by saying, it's absolutely essential to us fighting the war on terrorism. Well, there is no war on terrorism. Never has been one. Terrorism is a tactic. You can't fight a war on a tactic. And Americans just seem to go along ignorantly, like lemmings to the slaughter. It's too bad. We were once a great country. Dateline Jerusalem. Israel and Hamas went back and forth over the weekend over proposals for a new ceasefire in the fighting in the Gaza Strip. And Israel sought to bolster its claim that its forces were not responsible for the deaths of 16 Palestinians reportedly killed in an attack on a United Nations school. Speaking to the latter, the moment the first pictures emerged from the school, it was obvious that the whole thing was staged. The United Nations and the Palestinians claim that a Israeli mortar or artillery shell hit the center of the school's open area, where the UN had gathered all sorts of little mythical Palestinians to be sheltered from the onslaught. Well, there was a couple of problems. And this is typical Islam. They're not only liars, they're lousy at it. And I knew it the moment I saw the pictures, and now Israel is confirming it. The only deaths at that school were perpetrated by Muslims against Muslims for the express purpose of promoting the Islamic agenda. The fact is that the initial pictures that came out of that UN school showed hallways that were flooded in blood. But the roofs and walls were intact. There was no shrapnel on the ceilings, not on the floors, not on the walls. They show blood everywhere except in the courtyard. And they didn't show any evidence that a mortar had hit, not initially, when they sent out the pictures. Carnage, blood, no bodies, and no sign of an attack. Much later, days later, they showed a picture of a what looks to be a small, you can't even call it a crater, because it's really just a place where it looks like a firecracker went off and radiated some lines on the pavement. No blood anywhere nearby. Now, the Israelis said, we did have an errant mortar that went into the school courtyard. But it went into the school courtyard, as the pictorial evidence shows, long after the Palestinians, mythical people known as the Palestinians, and the United Nations claimed that the Israelis had slaughtered 16 children. At the time, the Israelis have absolute proof from surveillance drones that there was no one in the courtyard. And yet the story was run by virtually every media outlet that Israel bombs the UN school, kills 16 children, cold blood, those horrible Israelis. And then there were days of rage around the world where supporters for these terrorists, for these resolute liars, went around shouting death to Israel. What's worse? The Hamas-led Muslims for depicting this kind of fraud, the United Nations for being a willing accomplice in the absolute deceit, or is it the media for reporting it and not having the good sense to do a little investigation before they lead with a headline, which they did. It dominated newspapers and reports and media last week. And it turned out to be a lie. Another deception. This is a war of deception. You know, the Hamas claims that they're fighting because they're territory is blockaded, and yet that's not the case. The only thing that Israel precludes is weapons, and they haven't even been very effective at doing that. As a matter of fact, just a recent CNN piece that was done on the tunnels in Gaza, and it just showed that all of the cement used to build the tunnels was shipped into Gaza by Israel, because the Muslims said they were going to use it to build schools and hospitals and homes. No, they lied. They built tunnels to attack Israel to protect rocket launchers. Israel is supplying all of the electricity for Gaza. All of it. And the condition is that you not use it to promote weapons of war and the use and concealment of them. And that's precisely what they're using it for. Gaza is not occupied. There is no economic blockade on Gaza. And when Israel left Gaza, the agreement with the Muslims there was that it would be a demilitarized zone. The same negotiated position that Hamas, not Hamas, but that the world has said, okay, yeah, that will be the condition of the West Bank and Gaza, and that'll be the basis of the two-state solution. Although every country in the world is reneging on that now, including the United States. They want Gaza armed to the gills, including America and the West Bank. Because secretly, privately, almost universally, the demise of Israel is something that the leaders of this country, and certainly the leaders of Europe, and of course every Muslim around the world wants. Yes, the Muslims in Gaza gave their solemn commitment that Israel would leave Gaza, even though the only reason that Israel was in Gaza was because of the Six-Day War, when Muslims tried to annihilate Jews and obliterate Israel, and they lost. And so the only reason that Gaza was occupied is that the Muslims lost in an attempt to obliterate Israel. Israel has long since left Gaza with the promise that Gaza not be used to harbor weapons to be launched at and used against Israel. The Muslims have shown themselves to be savages, to be wholly untrustworthy, to be unworthy of any agreement that would grant them statehood. The two-state solution is an absolute guarantee of world war, not just war against Israel. It will make Israel so vulnerable that Muslims will immediately attack, and they'll come into Israel, flooding into Israel with the desire to obliterate every Jew on the planet in such numbers, the IDF won't be able to stop them. Late Sunday, and it's very poorly reported in the news, Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner, an Israeli military spokesperson, acknowledged that an errant mortar round that had been fired by Israeli troops exploded in the UN school's courtyard that same afternoon. But he said the yard had been empty at the time. He provided a video with 10 seconds of black and white footage shot by an Israeli drone that showed a blast in what was a completely empty courtyard. Quote, "It is extremely unlikely that anyone was killed as a result of that mortar." Not only did the mythical people known as Palestinians lie, not only did the United Nations go along with them and lie, so did the media, every major media outlet in the country. So did politicians, having a conniption fit. This carnage must stop. Israel is too many civilians. Well, folks, the Muslims lie. The Quran encourages them to lie. Muhammad told them to lie. And the media doesn't have enough sensible, rational, moral individuals in it to distinguish between truth and lies, and truth be known, they prefer the lie. This particular story says it was not immediately possible to reconcile the accounts. Here you're shown absolute proof, evidence, and yet you say it's not immediately possible to reconcile the accounts. I knew what happened before I even heard the Israeli testimony. It was obvious from the pictures. We have nothing but idiots rationally dysfunctional morons working in the media. Same is true of our politicians. The United Nations Security Council agreed Sunday night on a statement calling for an immediate and unconditional humanitarian ceasefire in the Gaza fighting. The council planned to meet at midnight to adopt it. Yeah, guess what? The United Nations isn't an uninterested third party. The United Nations has for decades sided with, armed and abetted, provided shelter and screening for Muslims. And the reality is that the only reason they wanted the ceasefire was because of the Muslim holiday. It was the end of Ramadan, Eid al-Fitr. And the Israelis, knowing that everyone that opposed them was a Muslim, offered the truce for the holiday. Go ahead. We're not going to be savages like you are. We're not going, for example, the last surprise attack on Yom Kippur. No, you want your religious holiday? Have it. And yet Hamas continued to fire rockets. Now, of course, this holiday, Eid al-Fitr, marks the conclusion of Ramadan, which is nothing but an embarrassment to anyone who has half a brain. Muhammad claimed that Ramadan was the month that he received the first Quranic revelation. So why is that an embarrassment to anyone that's half-witted? Because of the nature of that revelation? Muhammad was out not working because he didn't like work. He was out being religious, a pagan. He was performing the pagan rituals associated with the Arabs in his hometown. And while in a cave, late at night, in the darkness, he was accosted by a demonic spirit, by his own admission. It beat him to a pulp. It did the same thing to him that Paul claims the same spirit did to him on the road to Damascus. Beat him up. Didn't try to uplift him. Didn't try to inspire him. Didn't try to restore him. No, beat him to a pulp. And in addition to that, the statement that this demonic spirit issued to Muhammad to initiate this celebration of Ramadan was idiotic. It said that man had been created from a drop of congealed blood, from dead blood, from a scab. Then it went on to say, read, even though Muhammad was illiterate. It's a total embarrassment. Yes, the Muslims need to have their Muslim holiday, and therefore the United Nations asked for a ceasefire ahead of the Muslim holiday, the most important Muslim holiday of the year, ending the Muslim fasting month of Ramadan. But as Israel's cabinet met to discuss the offer, rockets rained down on southern Israel. Great. So the United Nations, on behalf of its Muslim that it supports, decided that it would propose a religious holiday. And as Israel met to discuss it, the religious zealots shot rockets as if that was a expression of their religion. Each side blamed the other for scuttling the efforts, and of course that's just what the journalist wrote because they were unable to think. Hamas said that due to lack of commitment by Israel, it resumed its fire. Hamas, I mean, the United Nations proposed a ceasefire based upon the religious celebration of the Muslims, and Israel met to consider it, and as they met to consider it, rockets were sent into Israel. Hamas blames Israel for a lack of commitment. Netanyahu came out and said, obviously, Hamas showed that it could not be trusted. It doesn't even honor its own ceasefires, and it constantly has violated every agreement, including the agreement that Israel would stop the last invasion of and bombardment of Gaza based upon Hamas's commitment not to acquire any more rockets and not to fire any more rockets. It just proves that Hamas cannot be trusted. World, why aren't you listening? Israel, this is a quote from Netanyahu, Israel is not obliged to let a terrorist organization, a ruthless terror organization committed to our destruction, decide when it's convenient for them to stop for a moment to rearm and then continue firing on our citizens. This is also Dateline Jerusalem from the Washington Post. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is stuck between mounting international outcries over civilian casualties from his assault on the Gaza Strip and intensifying calls at home to finish the job that he started. You know, this is right back to the nature of stupid people. This is the nature of stupid people. Stupid people personalize everything. Rather than this being about Islam and wanting it to eradicate Israel, annihilating every Jew, as is articulated throughout the Quran and Hadith. No, it's not about that. No. Don't you pay attention to those rockets. Don't you pay attention to the tunnels that are designed to infiltrate Israel so that the Muslims can infiltrate Israel, since Israel has not occupied Gaza in almost a decade. No, you don't pay attention to any of that. This is all about Benjamin. It's all about him. You know, he's the one who is stuck. It's his assault. It's his job to finish. When you personalize things, when you make, for example, the Ukraine about Putin, as opposed to the malfeasance of Europe and the United States and their desire to reenact the Cold War, then you're dumbed down to the point where you're no longer capable of responding to any situation rationally. This is what's happening here. The media wants to present Benjamin Netanyahu as the issue. It's not the issue. In fact, there could have been anyone in that position, anyone, myself included. And while I would have done one thing different, there isn't any rational, moral human being on the planet that would not have responded to eliminate the tunnels and the rockets to protect his or her people. No one. Now, the only thing I would have done differently is I would never refer to them as Palestinians, because they aren't. And I would refer to them as Muslims, because they are. Other than that, what Israel doing is what any sane, moral, ethical, merciful, compassionate individual would do. He is irrelevant. Several of his top ministers are pushing for a takeover of Gaza. You know, it would be in the world's best interest. The world would have a conniption fit over it, of course. But it is clearly in the best interest. Muslims cannot behave unless they're disciplined, unless there is somebody over them. You know, it's like Iraq. Iraq under Saddam Hussein was not a haven for terrorists or a place where terrorism was expressed as a daily activity. Now, was Saddam Hussein a good guy? No. Was he a Democrat? Of course not. But he kept that country glued together. Christians, 2 million of them, were able to live there in peace. There was very little infighting within Iraq between Sunnis and Shias. Certainly the Sunnis were valued over the Shias, but they weren't killing each other by the tens of thousands. When you look at the Muslim Brotherhood over Egypt, everything fell apart. Complete destruction of their economy. They were about to go off to war in Syria against Assad. And so you get a dictator that part of the military that takes over. He's not a lot better. But that's all that seems to work in the Islamic world. And so it's interesting, of course, that when Israel is in control, there is prosperity. There is a diminishment of terrorism. The quality of life is enhanced measurably. There's job opportunities, better health care, better human services. No, the world would like these savages to continue to lash out at Israel because most of the world hates Israel. This is something that, you know, I've studied. I wanted to know, why is it that most of the world hates the chosen people in the Promised Land? And the answer really is fairly obvious if you study history. It all began with Hadrian, the emperor of Rome, who baited Jews to coming back to Israel, Jews that had been sent abroad because of his predecessors, Vespasians and Trajan's horrific assault on Israel. He allured them back with the promise that they could rebuild the city and the temple that Romans had destroyed. But then when they all came back, he sprung his trap. He says, oh, well, by the way, I'm going to rename it after myself. Not going to be Jerusalem anymore. It's going to be me. And then he began to slaughter them, soaking the promised land in blood. Outline everything that Yahweh had instructed, burning his Torah, outline his annual meetings and his Shabbat and his covenant, making them illegal, punishable by death. And Hadrian didn't spend time in Rome as a typical Roman emperor. His goal was to transform all of the Roman Empire into his image. And he was more than just ruthlessly anti-Israel. You know, he is the man who after soaking the promised land in the chosen people's blood, chose to rename it because he couldn't fathom the idea that someone wouldn't submit to Roman superiority. But he spent most of his time in Greece, because he was a devotee of Dionysus. And as such, he integrated the Dionysus cult into the fabric of Rome. And that's important because the Christian Jesus Christ is based almost entirely off of the mythical legends associated with Dionysus, all brought to bear by Hadrian. He's the one who created this universal animosity for the chosen people and for the promised land. It did not serve Rome well. Rome, from the very moment it soaked the land in Yah's children's blood, began to die, and it was a miserable death. And so that is the basis of all of this. So here is now Israel, knowing that the Muslims wish to wipe them off the face of the earth. So several of the top ministers are pushing for a takeover of Gaza, which would be in everyone's interest. But the prime minister has opposed that, while even Israel's allies, led by Secretary of State John Kerry, do not think for a nanosecond that Secretary of State John Lurch Kerry is an ally of Israel. He despises Israel. And for someone to write, as the Washington Post to do, that Secretary of State John Kerry is an ally of Israel has to be completely and utterly mad. Have demanded an immediate halt to the hostilities. They've demanded an immediate halt to the hostilities. They demanded that Israel stop destroying tunnels that are specifically designed to make and to hide weapon systems designed and being used to murder Israelis. and to infiltrate Israel. And that they stop immediately from trying to destroy rockets. Now, is it Israel's fault or the Muslims' fault that these tunnels and these rocket launchers are all strategically placed under Muslim homes, Muslim schools, Muslim hospitals, and the most heavily, densely populated areas of Gaza as opposed to in the open? Is it Israel's fault or the Muslims' fault that the Muslims will not allow their women and children to leave so that they continue to be a human shield for the Muslim weapon systems? And so Israel is saying that if you look at what is being asked of us, that we stop trying to defend ourselves, and then you look at the outrage over the anti-Semitic protests of mythical Palestinian demonstrators around the world screaming, "Death to Jews!" What are they to do? Welcome back to Shattering Mist. Here's the Secretary of State of the United States, John Lurch-Kerry, demanding an immediate halt to the hostilities, which means that Israel is forbidden, according to the United States, from defending itself. That's what it means. That the Muslims can build their tunnels to infiltrate Israel. They can shield their weapons, mortars, anti-tank weapons, missiles, and also rockets. And they can fire their rockets. But Israel, no, you are no longer allowed your special dispensation for Israel. You can't defend yourself. Many Israelis naturally are feeling more isolated than ever and outraged, particularly because of the tens of thousands of people in major cities around the world, particularly in Europe, even in Canada, that are demonstrating, screaming, "Death to Jews," as Israel attempts to destroy the tunnels that were designed to annihilate the nation. So, what are the Israelis saying? If we're getting slammed, we might as well go all the way. One of the big checks on Israel has been the fear of being isolated, the fear of being branded as immoral. It's amazing. It's having the exact opposite impact on policy. Rather than being a check, it's being a catalyst. It's a motivating factor. If the world's going to be irrational, you might as well do the rational thing. I mean, you can't appease the irrational. So since the irrational thinks that Israel is immoral and is doing the wrong thing, Israel might as well go ahead and do the rational thing. Netanyahu has repeatedly accused Hamas of committing a double war crime by firing rockets indiscriminately at Israeli civilians as opposed to military targets and sacrificing the Muslims as human shields to protect those rockets and their launchers. And always terrorism. He used the derivative of the word five times in five sentences in an open speech the morning after the ground invasion began. Well, it's appropriate in their case. A terrorist is someone who uses the tactic of terror against civilians for the purpose of achieving either a religious or a political objective. That is what terrorism is. The Muslims in Gaza are terrorists because the principal goal of their weapons is to kill civilians. So when militants attack civilians, it is an act of terrorism. And it's not unique to Muslims. The world has been engaging in terrorist acts for a very long time. It's just now, for the last decade or so, Muslims have had a virtual exclusive on terrorism. Suicide bombings. It's an act of terrorism. Using airplanes to fly into buildings is an act of terrorism. I'm a little concerned here. We've got Wes calling in from Idaho, who says that the World Trade Center was not a conspiracy. All right, Wes, have at it.
I wanted to ask Yada, did Muslim hijackers with box cutters cause the World Trade Centers to collapse or disappear or whatever happened on September 11th, 2001?
Box cutters was not what caused the World Trade Center to disappear. Box cutters were used to slash the throats of flight attendants and then to get access into the cockpit of the airliners so that they could then slash the throats of the pilot and co-pilot so that the Muslims who had very little flight training but sufficient to crash an airplane took over those airplanes and flew airplanes full of fuel into the North and South Tower as well as into the Pentagon as well as one crashed because the passengers in the back of the aircraft had heard on their cell phones what Muslims screaming Allahu Akbar had done with the other three flights. They took over and gained control, but they took control away from the Muslims and that plane crashed in the middle of a field. But that's what happened in 2001. There's absolute unequivocal proof that that's what occurred. It was an Islamic suicide bombing. Now, the notion that conspiracy advocates promote to try to convince the world otherwise, I consider it to be some of the dumbest, most idiotic things I've ever heard.